We're going to continue down the line. I know yesterday we heard from Jody Moats, who gave us an update on the Adams Homestead. So we'll jump to 18, lodging opportunities in our parks. We have our Director of Parks and Recreation, Jeff Van Meteren. Are you going to?
I'm going to do 16 first.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I skipped right over 16. I saw, is Al going to be joining us?
Yes.
Okay. I will rewind. We are going to do number 16, Parks, Trails, and Events. We will have Al Nedved, our Park and Recreation Deputy Director, and Jen Stahl, our Park Naturalist, who's with us in person. Hi, welcome. You guys can begin whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Secretary Rolvin, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Great. Again, Al Nedved, Deputy Director for the Division of Parks and Recreation here in Pierre. Today, both Jen Stahl and I will just give a little bit of update on some of the things going on with trails in our state parks. And Chris, there's a short little slideshow there. If Chris could bring that up, we can kind of get that rolling, or I can share my screen as well.
Oh, I got you, Al.
Okay. Yes, our theme this year for Game, Fish, and Parks is the trails are calling, and it's a great theme, and we're really happy and excited to showcase and celebrate some of our trails in our state parks. A lot of times, things like camping and fishing and boating, they kind of take center stage and are kind of the main things that we do, but trails are really a great feature of our state parks like you say, we're really excited to showcase some of those things this year and let people know what great opportunities out there. And, you know, whenever we do like user surveys or things that try to find out what people are doing the most or what they want to do even more of, trail activities always rank right up there at the top, whether it's hiking or biking or walking and things like that. Trail activities are kind of a silent activity out there, but they are the number one activity usually that when people are surveyed that they like to do. And most recently we did a survey with SDSU back in 2019, and yes, hiking was at the top of the list of things that people like to do in our state parks and across the state. So we really appreciate the opportunity to let people know what kind of trails we have out there and you know, where they can access them and how to get to them. So, you know, what do people like about trails most? You know, they do a lot of great things. They provide, you know, access to a lot of the parts of our state parks that people can't access with a car. They offer access to areas that are very scenic and just those really neat areas in our parks that you can experience in a more personal fashion there. You know, trails also give a great opportunity to experience wildlife and nature, you know, right up close there. And that kind of goes hand in hand with some of our habitat projects to make sure that people have great opportunities to interact with nature and learn a lot about their natural environment. Again, they offer a great place for solitude and reflection. And also they offer a great place for physical activity and healthy goals. Trails are a much better alternative, at least in my opinion, to a treadmill or a gym. You can get out there and really you know, do things like jogging and biking and get your exercise in a great environment with our state park trails as well. Trails provide a really neat connectivity function as well, both within the park and sometimes out of the park. They connect campgrounds and picnic areas and trailheads and points of interest in our state parks, so people can access those trails at convenient locations and then also travel throughout the park and, you know, go to those key locations within our parks. But like I mentioned, sometimes our state park trail systems are connected to a greater network of trails, both in the community and so forth, that offer even more opportunity to connect things in communities. Some examples of that are like our Lewis and Clark Trail System. That was one of our very first trail systems that was connected into the community of Yankton. And it was an instant success. It really provided a great opportunity for folks to make a trip out to the park and back. And we've since kind of replicated some of that with some other communities, such as Custer, the trail that connects the city of Custer and the Mickelson Trail to the Custer State Park Trail System. Here in Pierre, there's a trail system that connects Farm Island all the way up to the base of the dam at Wahi Downstream, probably over 20 miles of trails that people can connect not only to the community, but to state parks that are there. And then also like the city of Madison has a trail that goes out to Johnson's Point as well. So yeah, we always look for those opportunities when we can cooperate with the local community to not only get folks out to the park in a vehicle, but they can also ride their bikes and make a day of it and connect it in that way as well. So, you know, special events are very popular for trails as well. Things like triathlons, bike races, 5Ks, and even a few marathons take place in our state parks. This past weekend was the Mickelson Trail Deadwood Marathon, which hosts, I believe, over 1,300 participants in that particular event. So so they provide really great opportunities for special events as well. So yeah, just a few things on what trails do for us out in the parks there. And next slide. We'll kind of show just a little bit about, you know, what we have as far as a trail system in our state parks. We have roughly about 417 miles of non-motorized trails out there. 233 of those are, classified or allowed as equestrian trails where people can ride horseback riding on those as well. 288 miles that can allow biking on those. And then also 193 miles of cross-country ski trails. Jody Motz yesterday kind of mentioned that the Adams area down there is a very popular cross-country ski area. And we do have a few that we actually groom those trails. We do not groom all 193 miles of those cross-country ski trails, but there's a portion of those that we do groom when we can to allow for a more quality winter experience there as well. 30 miles of our trails are actually paved. Examples of those are like at Lewis and Clark and Custer State Park, where we have some of those paved trails that provide a good quality accessible surface that can allow bikes and strollers and things like that to be a little bit more family friendly as well. Then, of course, kind of our crown jewel of the trails out there is our 114 mile George S. Mickelson Trail that stretches from Deadwood down to Edgemont. And that trail continues to grow in popularity every year. It continues to accumulate accolades and awards for one of the most amazing trail experiences in the world, in some cases. A lot of people travel all over to experience that particular trail. So just a great trail. It's most well known for its scenery and also its accessibility that allows folks and families to enjoy some of the most beautiful areas of the Black Hills in the most accessible and family-friendly way. So it is one of our true crown jewels out there, and we really try to make sure we take care of that trail. There's a lot of bridges and infrastructure associated with that trail, so keeping that trail in serviceable condition is a priority. And then also just it'd be good to mention that we also manage the snowmobile trails, as you're probably aware. That kind of falls into our trail management system, about 338 miles of trails in the Black Hills and 922 miles of East River trails as well. So those kind of constitute our motorized portion of our trail system there. So with trails and them being such a important and prominent part of our state park use, we're trying to understand that a little bit better, what those patterns are for use. We're trying to understand, what areas we can start to prioritize for future trail development and enhancements. So currently we do keep some trail monitoring, traffic counting systems on about 9 of our trails, currently mostly in the southeast and on the Mickelson Trail. These counters are not meant to get actual counts of trail users, because that's a very difficult thing when trails have multiple access points and people can get on and off them in various locations. So it's hard to get an accurate count. But what we can do is try to determine some some trend data and some usage data that can help us understand, you know, what trails are the most popular, what times of day they get used, and what the folks are doing from year to year on those trails. So we are tracking about 9 of those currently right now. We are planning to expand that trail monitoring network to about 13 more trails and kind of be a little bit more of a statewide coverage on some of these. We're not planning on doing every single trail out there that we have. And but we do want to try to pick some key ones around key parts of the states at certain trails that we can start to report these numbers and these trends to the commission, in addition to our traffic counts and our camping usage counts that we'll include in every monthly report going forward. So you'll be able to hopefully look forward in the near future to some more information regarding our trail usage in our state parks. And then the next slide just kind of shows kind of a graphic of how these trail counters look. They're very simple little devices. They just shoot an infrared beam across the trail, and whenever something breaks that beam, it just clicks off a count. So we monitor the trail use in that fashion. These counters are fairly inexpensive. They're a few hundred dollars a piece. So, but they'll be a very useful tool and, getting some use information that we can upload into our data management system and again, understand our trail use a little bit better. And I think, Adam and also, with the Palisades update there and some of the things that we've talked about earlier, we've kind of covered some of the trail initiatives that you can expect to see here in the near future. The Palisades trail system is kind of one we're excited about. Hopefully get started on that here in a year or two. When that property was acquired, it was very apparent that the trail opportunities at Palisades could be expanded and enhanced greatly there. And it's just a really neat area, neat addition. And we're really looking forward to enhancing that trail system there. It's already an amazing trail experience throughout the rock formations and the gullies there and stuff like that. But to be able to expand this to the south and put several more miles of trails at Palisades will be a huge addition to that park. And then as Adam mentioned, Custer State Park, we're looking at various trail improvements and enhancements there. Waukee Downstream and Lewis and Clark are some spots that we continue to evaluate trail opportunities. As you may know, one of the resources that we use to develop our trails is a federal funding source called the Recreational Trails Program, which is a 80% federal match to do trail projects that comes through the Federal Highway Administration. But those funds are used for both state park projects and local park projects to do trail projects throughout the state. So that's been a long standing source of revenue and a resource that we use to enhance our trails throughout the state park system there. And yes, we continue to do more planning and do more assessments on what a good trail project is in the future here. And we look forward to bringing more of those to the public as time goes on. So there today too is also Jen Stahl, and just a few slides here, but maybe if before she gets going on what some of the cool upcoming events in our state parks related to trails are, if there's any questions about what I presented there, I'd be glad to take them now.
Any questions for Al from commission? Al, I do have two questions for you. One, do we as a department, do we ever partner with volunteers or service groups to help keep an eye on some of these trails, do any maintenance?
I believe we do have a few out there. I can't probably point to any specifically there. At Good Earth, we have a very strong volunteer base there that helps us with a variety of events and things of that nature. I know down in the Adams area as well, we have a lot of a good network of volunteers that help with trail projects. So I do know on a little bit of case by case basis. I'm not aware of any broad based or systemic types of volunteer groups that help out with things. But on case by case basis, we can rely on some of those folks for certain projects.
And then my second question, you mentioned 9 trails that will be looked at for tracking. Have you identified what those 9 are?
Yes, you probably can't see it very well on that slide, but you know, some of the trails that we plan on adding some of these counters to are the Seechee Hollow Trail up there north, Richmond Lake, Pelican, Hartford Beach, Lake Thompson, Lake Ponset, and Oakwood, Lake Herman, or a couple of the Farm Island Trails and Laframboy Trails and Oahe Downstream. And North Point are some trails that we plan on adding these traffic counters to. And again, not meant to be a canvassing attempt here, trying to cover every single trail we have out there, but just trying to pick some representative samples of some trails throughout the state that will help us you know, understand kind of what those use patterns are around the state.
Very good. Yeah.
Jeff Demeter, Parks Director. Maybe just to add to that, Madam Chair, you know, we've used groups in the past called AmeriCorps to help us build trails. Wonderful folks or volunteer base where they bring in college students and they'll work for like 6 weeks. We have to house them, and they have constructed some trails along with other projects in our parks. So, yeah, always looking at that. You know, I think just to finish this up a little bit, trails, we take this for granted a little bit, but trails also are a huge connection to our communities. We have, it's really what kind of connects the park to the community. You see that all over the place. Gerritsen, Yankton, Madison, Pier, it's just that connection. A lot of those communities sometimes forget there's a park right outside, and that trail really causes that connection. So Jen's going to talk about events next, and that certainly does that as well. A lot of our events are centered around using community volunteers to put those on, and then they reap the benefits of people coming to town and spending money, gas stations and grocery stores and that kind of stuff. So.
Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Rumbling. I'm Jen Stahl. I'm the park naturalist here at Goodrich State Park. And I'm just going to speak to you a little bit about some of the events coming up. To this time of year, we've got them going all year round, but a few coming up soon would be the Crossroads exhibit. Fort Siskin has a traveling exhibit going on between now and the 25th of June, which is a great addition to what they already have currently going on. This weekend, the National Get Outdoors Day, so there's lots of events going on there. The Loose Pioneer Days and Homesteader Days are both pioneer events that happen. These have been going on for, I want to say, 10 to 15 years already. So these are annual events that are continuing to grow. Here at Good Earth, we have a summer concert series that starts in the middle of May and goes all the way until the end of July. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., we have a live music group that's down at the amphitheater there. So people come out and either sit in the seating that we have, but we have a lot of people who come in chairs and blankets, kids running around. We have a food truck that comes out. It's a great afternoon on a Sunday afternoon to come out and explore the park. If we get rain, we have found out that we can move everybody into the visitor center and we just rock the building. So it's a lot of fun to have that go on. The Mickelson Trail has their trek trail going on from the 13th to the 15th this year. Another thing that we've started is AARP hikes. We've got a partnership going with AARP. They helped do some funding with some things that would happen in the parks. And so then we offer hikes, guided hikes in our state parks. We had one here last weekend, and it was led by a South Dakota Master Naturalist. A lot of these this summer will be led by South Dakota Master Naturalist, which is another partnership that Game Fish and Parks has. They're folks who are just very passionate about nature. They go through a training class, and now they're volunteering within our park system. So I think that's a great addition that we've got going on. Father's Day is June 18th, and that's always our free park entrance license and free fishing weekend. So there's lots of events going on there. And again, we've got another concert that day. The 24th is the tour of Oahe at Oahe Downstream Recreation Area. I'm not familiar with that one. I'm going to have to check that one out. That one's new to me. And then here at the park, we've got a night glow hike. We're going to focus on the lightning bugs and have a guided hike for that. Then coming up in July, again, our concert series will continue on the 2nd. And then Pickerel Lake has their Family Fun Days. That one's been going on for several years as well. That's July 6th through the 8th. The 15th is a busy day. We have Little Wings on the Prairie up at Oahu Downstream. That is another great pollinator event. They showcase their pollinator garden that they have, and then there's lots of events going on for kids and families, and they talk about those monarchs and other important pollinators. And then a lot of parks in the summertime do Christmas or Halloween in the summertime to kind of be festive. So there's Christmas in July at Chief White Crane Recreation Area. And then again, our concert series is going on. And then Becoming an Outdoor Family this year is at Roy Lake from the 19th to the 21st. That's another great event where families come, they sign up, they spend the entire weekend at a park, and there's all activities geared just for them so that they're actually able to enjoy that. I may be mistaken. It used to be the weekend, but I think now they've moved that to during the week. This is the 19th to the 20th during the middle of the week. So the weekends are so busy at parks, so they offer that during the week time for families to come. And it's very well received. I think there's about 20 to 30 families who come and enjoy that time. Then also we've got some specific trails programming going on. We do offer trails quite a bit here at the park. Good Earth, we have programming. Our concert series is big. Our summer camps are big, but people really like to take guided hikes here. So we've tried to gear that way. And other parks have that same calling from the public. So all year long, we've got our Sasquatch hidden around the trails. There's signs out there. And if you find and take a selfie, submit that into Pier, then you're entered to win a drawing. And each week they pull out a winner of a different prize package that went on. We started that January 1st, and that's been going on since then. I'm sure we'll go all next year. Custer State Park also does a summer trail challenge. They pick a specific trail and you can go through those. It might be more than one. So they go through different trails and they track those and then they submit for prizes. And again, there's that Mickelson Trail going on. You can see the different AARP hikes going. We have found here at the park, and I have other parks, that people like to take night hikes. They like to come out at night while the park is open, have a guided hike with or without a flashlight. If you come to a night hike here with me, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is turn your flashlight off and become a nocturnal animal and learn about those things. So you'll see different things. Like we have that glow hike, the stars and strolls and s'mores, a lot of night sky viewing, constellation, that kind of thing going on. The Perseid Meteor Shower on August 12th at Palisades State Park is another annual event that keeps going on. And I see this year they've turned it into a hike. We used to just gather, and now they're actually going to be moving through the park, which I think is great. Track trails is the August 19th, and that's for different parks. If you check it down at the end of our trail, as you're going down the trail, you'll see a track trail. And that's a national wide movement to get people out and traveling through the parks. And when you go through those and you go back to their website and you sign up, they'll send you stickers and different activities. So that's a national movement that we have. And some of our disc golf courses are also part of that. A Blue Moon hike at Oakwood State Park on August 31st is going on. And then that annual 25th Mickelson Track Trail Trek is in September. That's a nice time to be out there in the fall and see those different colors going on. And also in the fall, we have a couple different trick-or-treat trails, one at Big Sioux Recreation on the 28th, and then at La Framboise on August 29th. So we've always got things going on in the parks. People are very excited to come out. They love to be guided and talk. So they're educated as they're walking through. And so it's one of our big showcases that we offer at the parks. Anybody have any questions for me?
Very good. Commissioner White.
Madam Chair, thank you, Commissioner White. Jen, can you tell us a little bit about the ADA accessibility to trails? Is there some type of guideline that you use as far as ADA accessibility?
I can't speak to the guidelines themselves, but I do know that a lot of our trails, this one here, and then there's also one over at Beaver Creek, is limestone, crushed limestone covered, which helps help make that ADA. So our Vista Loop trail here doesn't have much of a degrade, and then it's got that nice limestone coverage on it. A lot of the paved bike trails I know are ADA as well. I don't know about guidelines though.
Madam Chair, we'll maybe ask Al to jump in here. I think he's still on. He can give some of those standards to you, Commissioner White.
Yes, Madam Chair, Commissioner White, we do try to maintain a wide variety of trail opportunities in our state parks. Not all of our trails are accessible, and some of them are just not accessible just because it would just be extremely challenging to try to make some of them, especially where there's a lot of terrain and grade differences that make that difficult. But we do provide kind of a guideline for a policy that we call the other power-driven mobility device policy that allows people to have motorized devices on our state park trails, in addition to utilizing other non-motorized devices such as wheelchairs and scooters and things like that. But we do try to classify our trails into some categories where a certain amount of those other power mobility devices are allowed. Typically most of our paved trails are considered accessible. And even areas where there's crushed limestone there, that those do provide an accessible surface, but we do need to probably do a little bit of assessment on, you know, which ones, and provide maybe some guidance on which trails might be a good resource for people to of accessibility needs to use. And we are working on some resources and guides to help people understand a little bit better, know what are some of those accessible facilities in our state parks that they can enjoy.
Very good. Any follow-up?
I guess that was my point. As long as the public is identified with the knowledge of what ones are or aren't, so that they can make plans accordingly, that's the only question I have. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from the commission? Jim, you mentioned the Sasquatch. How this campaign, is it catching on? Are we getting a lot of folks taking photos and submitting?
I believe so. I don't know how the exact numbers for you. April might have those, but I know if you're at Good Earth, we see quite a few people going out and coming back, about 20 to 30 a month, I would say. Specifically for that.
Good.
Great idea.
Yeah, very good. I think that's it. Good job. Very, very good update. A lot of good things going on in South Dakota.
Thank you.